Have you heard them? Those fearful sounds in the dead of night? The muffled creak of a loosened board? The shuffling step of a ghostly figure? The eerie voice of the uninvited?
The Uninvited. True Tales of the Supernatural.
The private world of Gilbert Sharp was something very private, very personal, for he discussed it with no one, shared it with no one. Yet paradoxically, he made it public, too, through Gilbert Sharp, the writer. That sounds as though Gilbert Sharp was something of a split personality, doesn't it? Well, judge for yourselves. Gilbert lived alone in a pleasant country cottage. He liked living alone. There was a woman who came in each day to do his housekeeping, but she knew very little about him except that he was an agreeable man, easy to get along with. He had several friends whom he saw from time to time, but they didn't become involved in his life, nor he in theirs. Though there was one person who would have liked to have become involved in Gilbert's life, if he'd let her. Her name was Martha Collins.
Oh. Hello, Martha.
Hello, Gilbert. I've brought you some apples.
Well, that's nice of you, Martha. Very nice. Well, come in. Yes, that's very nice of you, Martha. And what lovely-looking apples.
Our trees were laden with them, remember? We'd stored so many away, I couldn't let them go to waste. I thought you'd like some.
Oh, I would. Yes, you're very kind. Put them down over there. Ah, that's right.
I thought you could munch them while you wrote.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, it's easy for you. You don't have to cook them. Don't have to stop working.
No, I can just munch.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Martha. Very kind.
Of course, it's not like cooking a proper meal. But it's better for you than not eating anything.
Oh, I do eat. You'd be surprised.
Oh, not properly. I'm sure you don't. I know what you're like.
Well, apple a day. I'll keep dozens of doctors away with these, won't I?
I was going to suggest...
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be any trouble for me to come in and cook you a meal.
Mm.
Just every now and then.
No, Martha, really. Mrs. Lake leaves things for me. I just have to heat them up when I want them.
Oh, it's not the same as a freshly cooked dinner.
Well, I wouldn't want to put you to all that trouble.
I've told you. It wouldn't be any trouble.
Well, you know me. I just like to work. You know.
Yes, Gilbert. I know.
Well, it was nice of you to call, Martha.
I've interrupted your work, haven't I?
Well...
I'll go in a minute.
Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Not for a minute. Sit down, won't you, Martha?
Thank you. I haven't seen you for nearly a week.
Well, you know how I am.
Yes. Gilbert.
Hmm?
Don't you think you ought to mix a little more with people?
Oh, I'm not much of a one for people. I'm a loner.
I don't understand it.
Well, there's nothing much to understand. I like my little cottage and...
I mean, I don't know how you can write.
It's the only way to write, Martha, being alone.
But surely... I mean, how do you know what to write about?
Hmm?
Well, when you don't mix with people, how can you write about them?
Well, I do, don't I? I sell my books, people read them, so the characters I invent must be real.
But they aren't, are they?
What?
Not real people. Not people who exist, whom you've met.
I told you, I invent them.
I don't know how you can. Because some of them...
Well?
Well, they're so unlike you.
Well, I hope so. Well, books wouldn't be very interesting if everyone in them was like the chap who wrote them.
You're such a nice, gentle person. I'm sure you've never made a single enemy in your life.
No, I don't believe I have.
But some of the people in your books, they're dreadful people.
And I use my imagination.
But often, you write as though you hate them, really hate them.
I don't think I've ever hated anyone. Now, I don't think you could find anyone who'd say that about me.
No, I couldn't.
Yes. Funny we should be talking like this.
Why?
Well, because of a letter that came the other day. Well, no, it's not a letter, really, just a card. Here, I'll show it to you. It's here somewhere.
What's it about?
Well, someone's written to me, said he's going to come and see me about the way I write my books. Said it's time we came to grips about it. That's a funny sort of phrase to use, isn't it? Time we came to grips about it.
Who is he?
Well, at first I wasn't sure.
Not sure?
Oh, you see, he didn't sign his name, just initials. J.K.
Well, surely it must be someone you know well if he just signs his initials.
And you've just said yourself, I don't know anyone well.
Oh. Oh, yes. So I did.
It was a bit of a puzzle at first.
Have you worked it out now?
Yes, I think so. It's a fellow named Jack Kelman.
Oh, who's Jack Kelman?
Oh, another writer. You know, I go up to London each year for that literary dinner. Meet lots of other writers there.
But you've never really made friends with any of them.
No, but there's a sort of professional friendship between writers, you know. When a writer's travelling, it's natural for him to call on a fellow writer, so who else could this be but another writer saying he wants to talk to me about how I write my books?
Come to grips with you about it.
That proves it, you see. A literary phrase, the kind of phrase a writer would use.
Perhaps you'd like me to come and cook dinner for you when this Mr. Kelman comes.
Well, that's very, very nice of you, Martha, but you see, I don't know when he's coming, do I? He just says, soon. Oh, there's the postman.
I'll get the letters for you.
Thank you, Martha.
Oh, there's only one. A card.
Oh, thank you. It's another communication from J.K.
Oh? Does he say when he's coming?
No, not really. But, well, it's quite strange.
Well, what does he say?
Oh, here, you read it.
Dear Gilbert Sharp, this is to confirm that I really am coming to see you. The matter of your books is one that has to be settled once and for all. I want to give you fair notice so that you'll be in a position to know your own mind, so that everything will be quite clear between both of us when we come to grips. J.K. How strange.
Yes, it's very strange indeed. Well, what business is it of Kelman's anyway? And what a way to write. Really, it's like his infernal cheek.
Well, I think so too. Gilbert, why don't you write back to him and find out what it's all about?
Yes, I will. I'll do that. Except...
What's the matter?
Well, there's no sender's address on the card. There was none on the first one either.
Well, where was it posted?
Well, the postmark's London West 1.
And the first card?
Yeah, same postmark, the west end of London, Mayfair, Soho.
Well, you can find out where he lives, surely.
Huh? Of course! I'll contact his publisher. Then I'll know what it's all about. Mrs. Lake? Mrs. Lake!
Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Sharp.
Good heavens, can't you hear that shutter? It's come adrift.
Oh, I'll pull it closed.
Well, I wish you would. It's impossible to work.
Yes, sir. There. Now it's right.
Thank you.
You don't look too well, Mr. Sharp.
Why should you say that?
Just because you don't look too well.
Because I complain about a confounded window shutter banging in my ears? There's nothing abnormal about that, is there?
No, sir. I wouldn't think so.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Lake. I do apologize.
Apologize, sir?
Yes, for taking it out on you.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Sharp. You're entitled.
Entitled?
Entitled to a bit of an outburst every now and then. Everyone is, I'd say. Especially a gentleman like you.
Well, what's so special about someone like me?
Oh, a gentleman who sits alone here, writing books. Enough to drive anyone dotty, if you ask me.
What did you say?
Oh, I am sorry. I didn't...
You said I was dotty.
Oh, no, Mr. Sharp, I didn't. Oh, I just said that being alone all the time, the way you are, writing books, all that imagination, living alone with it, I just said it's enough to...
Yes, to drive anyone dotty. I wonder if you're right. If that could be the explanation.
Explanation?
I wonder if I do become too absorbed in the characters I invent and somehow that causes things to happen.
What things, Mr. Sharp?
Nothing. Perhaps I need a rest. so I won't fly off the handle at you over a banging shutter, eh, Mrs. Lake?
You don't have to worry about that, sir.
But it is unlike me, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. You're always such an agreeable gentleman. Never a harsh word. But don't you fret about it, sir. I don't take it amiss. If there's anything more I can do to help...
No, Mrs. Lake, thank you. There's nothing. You're very kind. Very understanding.
Well, I'll get along, then.
Well, there's your coat. Now, you'll need it today.
I certainly will. Like ice, that wind is. There's snow on the way, if you ask me. Oh, there's a braise all ready for you in the kitchen, sir. You just have to heat it up when you want it.
Thank you, Mrs. Lake.
Oh, like ice. Soon as the wind drops, there'll be snow. I can feel it.
Hurry home, Mrs. Lake.
Don't you worry about them funny people now.
What funny people?
The ones you dream up for your books.
Hmm? Oh, yes, well... Goodbye, Mrs. Lake.
When his daily help had gone, Gilbert Sharp turned back to his typewriter. But the empty white page seemed to hypnotize him. He gazed at it, but neither his brain nor his fingers brought words upon it. His creative powers seemed to be frozen. Or was it simply that he was listening? That his whole mind was concentrated upon listening? And then it came. The sound he'd been waiting for. For a minute, perhaps, he sat not moving. Then, as though impelled by some kind of mechanism, he rose, crossed slowly to the door.
Gilbert, what's the matter? Well, you look as though...
Come in, Martha.
Did you think it was J.K.?
Jack Kelman?
Well, that's...
Yes, I know. There's no other person with initials J.K. that I know. But Jack Kelman isn't in England. And this morning, another card arrived.
Oh, dear.
Gilbert Sharp looked as Martha had never seen him before. No longer the quiet-mannered, agreeable person who was liked by all his casual acquaintances. Instead, a man whose nerves were on edge. A man who seemed haunted. But why?
Gilbert, I don't think you're well.
Don't keep saying that.
Well, I haven't said it before. That's...
Yes, I know. It was Mrs. Lake before. All right, so it was Mrs. Lake. Everyone thinks I'm ill. Having a breakdown, going out of my mind.
Gilbert, what is it?
I told you. Jack Kelman isn't in England. And today I got another card from J.K. posted in London, West 1.
Then you've been in touch with his publisher?
Of course, that's how I know. Kelman has been in New York on business for more than a month.
Then the cards must be coming from another J.K.
Well, I don't know another person with the initials J.K. I don't have any real friends. You know that. I live alone, write my books.
Gilbert, this Jack Kelman...
Well?
What kind of a person is he?
What kind?
Well, I mean, is he strange? Funny?
Well, all writers are funny, strange. Obviously, just look at me.
Could he have left the cards behind when he went to New York and had someone else post them at intervals?
But if he had done that, it would mean he was trying to persecute me.
Yes?
Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. He hardly knows me. And he'd have no reason. No. And in his latest card, he says he'll be here this weekend. And Kelman's publisher says he won't be back from New York for another month.
So this J.K. must obviously be someone else.
Yes.
Who, Gilbert?
There is no one I know of with those initials. I've searched my mind. Now that is good. Search my mind.
What?
Now that is the only possible explanation, Martha. My mind. A figment of my imagination. A whole thing. A ghastly figment.
You did get another card today.
Of course I did.
Will you let me see it?
You might as well, since you've seen the others. Here.
This isn't a figment of your imagination, Gilbert. This is real. So you mustn't torment yourself by...
Don't know what I'm talking about. How could you? Oh, my fertile imagination. Oh, my.
Gilbert, please.
Let me stay here and look after you.
What?
When I saw Mrs. Lake in the village a while ago, she told me...
Ah, so that's why you're here, is it? Because you saw dear Mrs. Lake and she told you I was going out of my mind.
No, no, she didn't.
Now, that's the phrase to hang on to, Martha. Out of my mind. Now, that's the key to the whole thing. Yes, indeedy. You can bet your shirt on that, your cotton-picking shirt. Out of my mind.
Please, Gilbert. You shouldn't be here alone.
Ah, but I won't be. Not for much longer. I won't be alone. J.K. will be here with me. Now, isn't that something?
Now, that's exactly what I mean. This J.K., whoever he is...
Oh, whoever he is, whoever he is.
Gilbert!
Look, have you any thoughts on the subject, Martha? Who he is?
No. How could I have?
How could you have, indeed? Not a normal, nice little country girl like you with normal, nice little country thoughts. How could you have these kind of thoughts?
Gilbert, you're afraid.
Yes, perhaps I am. You see, I... could have a reason.
Because of J.K.?
J.K., J.K.!
I don't know what you're thinking, who you're thinking this man is, but you should tell the police.
No.
Ask for protection if you're afraid of him.
It's nothing to do with the police. It's my responsibility. Right from the beginning, only mine. And I have to face up to it.
Then you do know?
Yes. Yes.
If you won't go to the police, let me stay, so you won't be alone.
No, Martha, you have to go. Don't you understand? J.K. and I, we have to come to grips alone.
Please.
I want you to go, Martha. I want you to leave. Goodbye, Martha.
It's beginning to snow.
Yes, you'll be all right if you hurry home now.
Oh, Gilbert, I'll ring you later to make sure you're all right. You'll answer the telephone, won't you, Gilbert?
Yes, yes, if you wish it, whatever you like. But please, you must go now, because I have to settle with J.K. alone.
Soon the snow was falling quite heavily. The world became silent, closed in. Gilbert no longer tried to write. Instead, he took down a copy of one of his own books and read it avidly. The snow had stopped falling by the time he'd finished reading it. He just sat there, waiting and waiting. It was quite late by this time, and then it came. What he'd been waiting for. J.K., of course. J.K. at last. J.K. had arrived.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You were expecting me?
Of course. Come in.
You recognize me?
Of course.
J.K.
You don't have to tell me.
I shouldn't think so.
Now, if anyone should recognize you, I should.
I've got you to thank for everything, haven't I, Sharp? My very existence. What I am.
Well, you shouldn't mind. You've enjoyed every minute.
Am I? Is that what you think?
Well, you're that kind of man.
I'm what you made me.
No, I'd almost forgotten you. When I started getting your cards, I didn't connect them with you.
Forgotten me, had you? Yes, I shouldn't be surprised. You've poured out your self-dislike in lots of other directions since you started me off on my travels.
Self-dislike?
Of course it's that. You don't mix with the living people, not enough for it to matter. So every character you create is some kind of extension of yourself. And, brother, do you hate yourself?
Yes, I expect you're right.
Right? Of course I'm right. It's not only yourself you hate, it's the rest of the world, too. As much as you've seen of the people who make up the rest of the world. But do you have a healthy, turbulent life amongst them? Not you. You're smooth as butter. Butter wouldn't melt in your mouth when you see them. You save up all your hate and your nastiness for your books and come to life with people like me. Well, what about it, Sharp? Isn't it time you started thinking about what you're doing?
Oh, I have been thinking about it. For some days now.
Oh, ever since I started prodding you.
Oh, no, it wasn't you. Give me credit for something.
Oh, why should I? Credit? You? Why do you think you started getting those cards? Thank me for pulling you up, Sharp. Me, no one else.
Has it really been so bad for you?
What do you think? Do I have to tell you the kind of man I am?
I've just been refreshing my memory.
Refreshing your memory? That's something I must say. He creates a man like me, dumps him in the world, and then he has to refresh his memory to remember the thing he's created. Yes, it's time we came to grips with the whole concept of your writing, and you carelessly father monsters and leave them scattered around the world to do their worst.
Don't keep using that phrase.
What phrase?
You know what phrase.
come to grips?
Yes.
I'm not surprised you're uneasy about it. You know what you should have done, don't you?
What?
For your own sake. You shouldn't have let me escape the gallows. That was a bad mistake, from your point of view.
I've realized that.
You have? Well, that shows you're not a fool. But you've realized it too late. Haven't you, Sharp?
What do you want me to do?
Sharp, there's nothing you can do. Let's face it. Let's look at it squarely. Did you give me one redeeming virtue? Just one?
No. You're evil through and through.
I see. You've convicted yourself out of your own mouth. Pronounced your own sentence, you might say. Didn't I do every evil thing? Didn't I murder?
You did.
But you didn't kill me off. You didn't send me to the gallows, as you should have done. You didn't pronounce my sentence. Instead, you left me there in Soho and Mayfair to go on and on. That was a mistake, Mr. Sharp. A bad mistake. So now, you and I, we've got to come to grips.
Just a minute, Miss Collins.
Yes, Sergeant.
Just a little check-in I want to do first. Right, we can go in now.
I'm so afraid that something has happened.
It's because Mr. Sharp didn't answer his telephone.
He promised me he would, but it rang and it rang. He didn't answer it.
Perhaps he was out,
At this time of night? Not Mr. Sharp. And certainly not tonight when he was expecting someone.
Well, this man, he said he was expecting this J.K. You don't know who he was, eh?
No. Mr. Sharp seemed to know, but he wouldn't tell me. He spoke so strangely. I've never seen him the way he was. Afraid and...
Yes, Miss Collins? And what?
And haunted.
Well, we'll soon find out if he's there or not.
Oh, Sergeant, he's not coming. Open the door.
Yes, I think we can do that. Ah, the light's on. Mr. Sharp?
He's not going to answer.
Are you there, Mr. Sharp?
He's here. He's here.
Now, don't touch anything, miss.
I haven't touched anything.
He's dead, I'm afraid.
I know. I know he is. He's been killed.
Well, we don't know that, do we? I mean, there's no signs of violence that I can see.
He was killed by that man, J.K.
You're sure those were the initials, Miss Collins? J.K.?
Of course I'm sure. Haven't I been telling you?
Yes, of course. I just wanted to be sure, because you see, this is strange.
What?
This book on the table beside him, he wrote it himself. The Outcast. See where it's open, Miss Collins? Last page. Now, you listen to this. One day he would commit his final act of violence. Jim Kelsey would be his own executioner. See what I mean? This character, he must have invented him, I suppose, but Jim Kelsey, that's,
J.K.
The final piece of relevant information came at the inquest. Medical evidence showed that Gilbert Sharp had died after the snow had ceased falling. Yet there were no footprints in the snow leading to his cottage. So the coroner concluded that Gilbert had had no visitor that night. No earthly visitor. And being a coroner, he could scarcely give a verdict that death had occurred at the hands of the uninvited.
This story was based on fact, dramatized by Richard Lane and produced by Jim Bradley for Atranza.